All righty. Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for indulging us with that. We'll do that again at 11 today. You won't have to do one then because you've already done one. And trying to find out ways we can better communicate and in a more timely manner. One of the indicators of that was one of the emails that we sent about prayer on Thursday. I saw the timestamp of when the person, when they actually got it. We sent it that morning. They received it that afternoon. And then they answered it right back, but it wasn't till then. Now, where it goes during all that time, I don't know. Kind of like texts that do the same thing, but we want to multiply our ways that we communicate. As we pray today, several prayer requests. You saw the one that Roy Sexton's dad passed away. Mr. Sexton had been very, very ill. The miracle was that he was still alive. There were so many things that were there, and that was a praise the Lord, going on to be with the Lord. And so please be in prayer for the Sexton family. As soon as we get some details, we'll send that out for you. Abby Bray, Pam's friend, Pam Jones' friend, has a mass that is on his pancreas and liver. He has had it biopsied, but he hasn't got the results back. They won't be back until next week. He's in a fair amount of pain, and so as we pray, I want us to pray for Abby. A number of you have asked me about my mom. Shadow, thank you for your prayers. There was an obvious, marked difference last week in her. She gained a little over 2 pounds, which is, praise the Lord, got her up to 96 point something now. Yeah, all of us have said that. I mean, I think one of my legs weighs that. But she had her first chemo of the new round of chemo, which will be once every 4 weeks on Friday. Tolerated it very well so far. So thank you for your prayers for her and your concern. Those cards you send her, the phone call, she really enjoys that. Especially the cards. She reads them over and over again. And other prayer requests. Daniel is he's going back to the doctor tomorrow. So far, the big battery of tests that they did for that Marfan's syndrome have all come back negative. His heart, they think, is okay. But he's going to do this DNA test now this week. It's the slam dunk. It'll yes or no tell him if it has the Marfan's. Yes. He told me last night, he's going with his mother and dad today. He said, make sure y'all pray for me tomorrow. Promise me, cool breeze. I said, I promise you. Praise the Lord. You know, we prayed last week. Remember, we prayed that God will grant us favor with people, that he would open up these each one reach one idea. Bill? And Don's going 1 o'clock every day for that for his radiation. Yeah, Brian.
Ryan was released today, so pray that the Spirit will guide him in the right direction this time.
Amen. Prayers of protection for him. Is there a don't do something stupid and mess it up prayer? Well, let's pray together and bring these before the Lord. We've had several praises, and we thank the Lord for those. Bobby, would you lead us in this prayer? Stand up and lead us in this prayer as we intercede for these people in these situations. Thank you, Bob. If you have your Bible, I want you to turn to Acts chapter 10, and we're going to read this together. And as you turn there, I want to mention something to you. You know, we've been talking about large group, small group. We've been talking about the church, the fancy church. How do you see the church today? What does Scripture teach about church? We've been extolling the value of a church that is both large and small. It meets both in large daily in the temple and house to house. That it is where you have both of these, and we've called this in the past. We call it the two wing church. Okay, now. One of the reasons we're extolling the virtues is this is absolutely beyond a shadow of a doubt where the church is headed. Absolutely, no doubt about it. Because we're returning to our roots worldwide. This is where the church will be. It's where it's happening right now. With persecution especially. That's going on in the world. Now, I want to mention this to you. I don't know if you saw this in the news this past week. Did you see that our government shut down access on all military bases to this website? SBC.net. You know what that is? That is the main arm of the largest evangelical denomination in the United States, the Southern Baptist Convention. On our military bases, trying to remember. Let me give this to you because I want you to see the point. It's not going to let me in. They said that, and I don't know who in our government did this, but this is on all military installations. Large number of chaplains in our corps of chaplains that represent our military in all branches of service are Southern Baptists. I don't know if you knew that or not. They're the largest group. They said that this site combative, but it was a problem for them. It was a problem. And to date, they've not explained, nor did they warn anybody that they were going to do that. They shut it down. Now, just a little picture, and you say, you talk about these things, what might happen. There you go. Thank you, John. That is of a concern to me, and it should be to you too. That number one, it could arbitrarily happen without any warning, and okay. We don't need to read the whole article, John. That'll be distracting. Y'all can read it later on and see. But I want you to see this as an illustration. There are people in our government today who see evangelical Christians, which is who we are, as a threat to the government. As a threat to our country. So, now, I'm praying that that's going to turn around. That's my prayer. But I want you to know, we've gone from theory about something like this happening. If this would have happened 20 years ago, it'd have been all over the news. How many of you already knew about that before I said it to you? A friend of mine overseas sent me the article. Said, "Did you see this? I hope you didn't miss this." Now, I'm saying that to you today to illustrate how important it is that we take seriously our call as believers to be the church, to be who we are. Where the church is thriving in the world, it is thriving as they meet both publicly and they meet house to house. The problem that for the government and for any institution, what they want to do with the church is this right here. That's the problem the Chinese are having with the church right now. That's the problem the North Vietnamese are having with the church right now. That's the problem that a number of African countries are having with the church right now. They want to control. When you decentralize, what happens? What happens to this? They don't have an opportunity, as much opportunity to control. And so we're malleable. Now, my prayer in our country is that we're going to have a revival, and a lot of the trends that we see going are going to turn around. But if they don't, we need to be ready. We need to be ready to meet and to move. And, how long ago did you make the statement or hear some, "Oh, they'll never enforce that on the church in our country because we have such time-honored principles"? I'm just wondering how long that I'll be able to publicly say homosexuality, the practice of homosexuality, is sin. How long will I be able to say that? How many places could you say that today out in public? Just an example. Has that changed in the last several decades? Of course it has. So, what I want you to see is not fear-mongering. Is not drawing back. "Well, we need to get in our foxhole over here somewhere and get our white linen outfit so we can get out and get ready to get on a hill somewhere and get ready to go." No, it's so we can go into the earth with the gospel. Because on the other side of the story of persecution is that today we have the greatest opportunity in the history of mankind to share the gospel. Do you believe that? What's an example of that? Internet. And the internet must be effective if someone who's seeking to control wants to shut down your access to it. What's another example? Great opportunity. Yeah, back to control. But what's another example? Yeah, right. You got TV. You got all sorts of media. Yeah. John? Now I'm also that I mean, on every smartphone that is out there. You've got access. I mean, immediate access. All right? But Here's one you probably haven't. This is a weird way of thinking of this, but think of what we had to combat before with people's presuppositions about the church. Their preconceived notions about the church. Now today, we're dealing with a population that, fill in the blank. They've never been there so that they could be dissed by somebody that's a part of a church. That's a brand new concept to them. In fact, this is a brand new book to them. Never read it before. We're less biblically literate today. Now, why would I see that as an advantage today for the gospel? You can go straight to Jesus. Bingo, bango, straight. And you don't have to go through religion and all this other stuff. Now, but one other thing, and I'll stop because we need to read this passage. There's also a spirituality that is out there. People are asking questions spiritually, aren't they? Listen to any talk show. They will drift toward the spiritual. First thing that me as an apologist for the faith, I'm using that as a technical term. Not I'm making apologies, but as a defender of the faith. First thing I want to do is say, oh, that's wrong, that's wrong, that's wrong, that's wrong, that's wrong. There. But what is right about that? What does that present to you when you see this spirituality that's going on? Come on, quick. What do you say, Donnie? It's right. And people are curious. They're curious. And they're curious for the truth. Let me ask you this. Do you believe that the gospel can stand in the midst of all these other religions? Of course it can. Look how it's done. An example of this, on the radio this morning, I like to pan the stations to see. From as long as I can remember, it's been one local church, one church service after another. Two out of three of the broadcasts that I listened to on what would be called church radio this morning were from cults. One was a Mormon, and the other one was a Christian Science. Both, two out of three. Now, that shows our drift, but it also shows an opportunity that we've got to look at. Now, turn to you in Acts chapter 10. All right. Someone read the first eight verses, please. Remember the story? It's one of my favorites. One of my favorites. Now I'm going to read some statements to you, and I want you to see. Now, today what I'm doing today is I'm dragging out the snakes today. And then next week we're going to kill them. Okay? You understand the metaphor? All right. We're going to let you stone. All right. See if these statements I read strike a familiar note. The church is a community of faith. The church is based upon relationships. The church is open. God is working eternally through the church. Let me stop right there. What am I reading to you? List of values, church, Christian, biblical values. Now here's my question. I'm going to get the whole list of what we've done so far. And there is an endless list. Do you see any of these values in this story that we read? Let's read them so everybody can hear this. That's a great answer, Steve. The church is a community of faith. See that in the story? How? All right. You see how it works now? I'm going to suggest something to you. There it is in my pocket. Imagine that. I'm going to suggest this to you as a framework for you to think about this week. I really would like for you to spend some time on it this week. I'd really like for you to take this as an assignment out of this boot camp this week, that you'd do this. I'm going to read the rest of the list in just a moment, but here's a framework that you can look at this, a way that you can look at this story with me. There was something that happened in Acts chapter 2. What happened in Acts chapter 2? We call that Pentecost. What's the feast that it was fulfilling? What? All right. You need to do some research on that. That's one thing you need to do some research on, because it's fulfilling a feast. We call this Passover. But let me ask you a question. At that gathering, who was there and heard that message? They were all of one particular stripe. They were all Jews. But they happen to come from where? Every place that at Pentecost. I put Passover. Why did I put Passover on there? What happened at Pentecost? Promise came. Promise of what? Come on. Holy Spirit. Get ready, upper room, we're ready, 120. Spirit of God came upon all flesh there, and the miracle that took place, and then all those people went back to their places. And by the way, some of those believers that we read about, particularly like the believers that were in Ethiopia today, are the result of the gospel going back at that time, at that very time. All right, but this was a large group. How big a group did Peter have that there on the day of Pentecost? 3,000 that did what? That received Christ that day. So how many people do you reckon that there might have been there? Well, we could do a Carl Sagan on you. Billions and billions of people that were there. We'll just say there were a lot of people. That's a very accurate number. All right. This is a large group. Here's the framework. I want you to see this. I've never looked at it like this before until the Lord revealed this to me this week. This is a large group. Because it all happened in big groups. It was going there. We come over to Acts chapter 10. And some have called Acts chapter 10 and what happened there the... What, Rick? Had a plant in the audience. Come in, close your eyes. We're going to let you read the cards. I'll read the cards through you. The Gentile Pentecost. Okay? Now, everything in this story happens in what? Huh? Small groups. And it is not Jews that we're dealing with mostly. We're dealing with Gentiles. Okay? And by the way, it's always kind of been interesting to me. It's probably I just probably hadn't gotten to it yet, but Peter's indignation about the unclean sheep, those animals coming down. Yet he's staying at the home of Simon the Tanner. Any of y'all get the Jewish obnoxiousness of that? Here's a man who deals with dead animals. He's ceremonially unclean. And guess what? If he's ceremonially unclean, what does that mean also about his house? You think he's keeping a kosher household? I doubt it. So, yeah, Donnie? I think eventually they could. I don't know. I honestly can't say that I can answer that question. But the point in that story is, here's a man who's actively doing it. It's his job on a daily basis. He's coming home. What has he been doing during the day? Fooling with dead animals. So anyway, it's probably if you read that passage again, Acts chapter 10, and I conclude with this. Here are the values that we've talked about so far. Church is a community of faith. Church is based upon relationship. God's working eternally in the church. The church is open. Whew. Can you see this? The message, the crucified, risen, and coming again, Lord Jesus, of the church is preeminent. The church is not a religion, it's relationship. The church is not convenient. The church is a love affair. Can you see that? All this right in one chapter. In the church, form follows function. Wow, you can go to town. The church is not perfect. Each one, reach one. Lord, I ask you for your revelation as we consider this passage, as we consider what you're speaking to us today about our values, where we live, what we do, how we act. Lord, I'm asking you to take us to the Gentiles of our world. In Jesus' name, amen.